football on off the ball.
You can flip it up and you can perceive how you want, but the truth is the truth, and I always try and be very truthful with players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
All right, let's get this road on the show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night, once again of a Friday evening. So good to have so many of you in once again to talk through plenty of talking points from the League of Ireland, and not just on the pitch this week. It's Cameron Hill here. Thanks so much for jumping on. Lots to get through this evening. Happy Bows Have a New Jersey Out Day to all who celebrate. I'm sure two lads who will be chomping at the bit to go and get the new jersey are Shane Keegan. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, I'm still trying to figure out whether you meant that slip up in the intro or not.
How do you mean?
You just said, let's get this road on the show.
I did. It's it's a bit of humor there. I'm sorry. I won't take a risk again, Shane. How about that?
all good. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Johnny Ward is also standing by. I'm sure you're thrilled. There's a new Bows jersey out, Johnny.
Yeah, love a new Bows jersey. But yeah, just when you're explaining, you're losing with those gags. So I got it though. I knew what you were doing, Cameron.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not cute enough, not clever enough, Cameron. Apologies.
It's fine, Shane. It's fine. I'll know for next time. Don't worry. plenty to get into. In fact, Aaron Deering is standing by, because we will definitely talk about matters down at Daily Mount in the next few minutes. If you do want to get in touch tonight, I'm sure lots of people have lots of different opinions about what's gone, including some of the streaming issues that happened tonight, which I saw plenty of chatter about, certainly online. But it's very simple. You're 90% of the way there. Just hit the microphone button in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. You can request to speak, and we will get to you as soon as possible. Before we bring Aaron in, I'll just tell you the results from tonight. So, Bohemians, their second win at Daily Mount in 12 months, I believe, a 4-2 win over Sligo Rovers. I was watching this. It was an absolutely cracking game, in fairness. Derry City came from a goal down to celebrate the opening of the North Stand at the Ryan McBride Brandywell with a 2-1 win over Cork. Drogheda United, top of the table once again, a 2-0 win over Waterford. Warren Davis with one of the goals. What a season he's having so far. Galway United's unbeaten start to the season over after Rory Gaffney, which many Shamrock Rovers fans will be delighted to hear, got the winner in Eamon DC Park for the Hoops. And St. Pat's versus Shells was the commentary game for us on Youth Talk this evening. That finished nil all. We've had a pretty lousy run of nil all draws for the commentary games, but hopefully that'll change soon. But we'll get into the games now, because Aaron Deering is there. Aaron, good evening. It seems like not even Daily Mount could have given you a win tonight in what was an absolutely brilliant game, and Sligo Rovers managed to come back. But what are your feelings after that tonight?
Yeah, mixed. Obviously, was delighted to get back into the game, but second half, I knew just as the game was going to go on, just with the injuries, and then obviously, like, you're finishing the game with 7 out of the 11 that can play for your under-20s. So it was always going to be a big test in that second half. Obviously, got off to the worst half in the second half. You just change your right back, and unfortunately, he goes off injured, one of your more experienced players. Then Ryan Manning comes off injured as well, just before Bows take the lead. So, like, yeah, injuries just killing us. And obviously, you're already heading up to Daily Mount this evening with a depleted squad with the suspensions. So, yeah, it's not great at the moment.
No, it's like, as you say, the fact that you could come back after what was what seemed like a disastrous start with 2 goals for Bows in the first 5 minutes, you tested the shakiness of that Bows defence. I think there's been plenty of talk about just some of the individual errors so far this year, but like, it just seemed like there were a few substitutions that you could have done without a few injuries, as you said, and it kind of ran out of road.
Yeah, look, like, even the back four, like 5 of them, you know, if you count your goalkeeper, are all under 20s. Connor Reynolds and Kyle McDonough are only 18, like, so It was tough for them, and then obviously a few of them had picked up yellows during the game, so they had to mind their challenges as well. Garrett McElroy obviously was very impressive again. Don't know if we'll be able to hold on to him too long if he keeps going, but yeah, it's just it's hard obviously, because obviously you get off to the worst start being 2-0 down, but they did well to get back into it. But just unfortunately, we just didn't have the players that Bowes could call upon in the second half, you know.
The
mental stuff for the first half an hour, Aaron. You must have been like, after a half an hour, four goals, what were you thinking?
Oh, well, when after the first 5 minutes, I was thinking this could be 3 or 4 the way things are going. And then obviously got back into the game. In fairness, Lomboto took his goal well. Elding as well took his goal really well, rounded the keeper. But yeah,
pass for the Elding goal, Aaron, was that Manning, was it?
Yeah, it was Manning, yeah.
It
was, unfortunately, we lost him then second half to injury, and that was a big blow, because he was playing very well, I thought. Now it looked to be only his calf, so I'm hoping it's not too serious injury, but again, he hasn't played that many minutes, so it could be just a case of cramp as well. So fingers crossed, that's not too bad.
I suppose that's the encouraging sign. Elding scoring, Lomboto scoring, and Manning playing well. Like, Manning's definitely going to prove a good sign, and you just need to stop giving up 2-goal leads so early.
Yeah, that's what's killing us at the moment. It's just leaking too many goals. Now it is hard, obviously. Like, you look at tonight, you're missing John Mahan. Ollie Denham comes off injured after, what was it, 15, 20 minutes. Already there's just too many, probably swapping and changing in that back four to kind of bring a bit of consistency and a couple of clean sheets. But yeah, it's that's the main, like, you're just giving yourself each week a mountain to climb, either at home or away from home, when, as you say, Johnny, you're giving 2-goal leads away, and like, then you need at least 2 to get a point or 3 then to try and win a game, which is just a lot to give yourself.
The mistake for the last goal as well, Aaron, is a shocker. Look, it's a lovely finish, but who I didn't cop who the centre half was.
That was actually McElroy, unfortunately, but yeah, look, I mean, he, like, in fairness, at that stage, you're kind of trying to go for it, but probably just dilly-dallying a bit too much, unfortunately, at the back at that stage. But yeah, that was a nice finish from Devoy, in fairness, but yeah.
3-point gap already?
Yeah. I would be worried just about some of the recruitment, obviously. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with a tight budget, you're hoping that a lot of them land. And obviously, Hadiki and Kavanagh, I think, have been very good. Obviously, Manning tonight got more minutes and looked good. But a few of the rest you're kind of relying on, but they just haven't hit the ground running, unfortunately.
How much longer is Doyle Hayes supposed to be out for?
I think he got a 3-match suspension for whatever he said to the referee.
Two or three games into that now.
He is 1, so he's another 2 to go.
Jesus, I thought
yeah.
I missed that.
Oh. Yeah. What was it, Shelburne game? Or it could be 2. It could be 2, okay. Actually. I think he missed the Shelburne, so one more game.
What is the mood around Sligo Rovers fans at the moment, Aaron? Is there a sort of quiet resignation that this was just going to be how it is, particularly at the start, and maybe as the season goes on and other teams start accruing injuries, suspensions, and maybe poor form, that's when you can strike? Or are you already got alarm bells that it's gone the way it's gone so far?
Starting the season, you're kind of optimistic anyways. Obviously, we knew it was going to be a struggle after losing so many kind of top quality players. And then you're hoping the players you sign are good enough or even half as good as the ones, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. And as the season's gone on, naturally, you know, there are a few alarm bells ringing. But look, even actually, I, the Cork go on to lose that game? Did that finish 2-1 to Derry?
They lost, yeah. I tell you, so, if that was a decent result for Sligo Burns.
Yeah, the only hope there is that Cork are still only, is it 3 points the gap at the moment? So you're hoping you can just stay in touch and maybe try and secure a playoff. But again,
listen, Aaron, you never want to be relying on bad things to happen elsewhere. But
100%.
Talks of Rory Keaton picking up a bad injury tonight. If that's the case, with Sean Maguire already out, you know, Cork could struggle to pick up points over the next couple of weeks. You really need to capitalise if those two are going to be out for a period of time. I know you have the, is Johnny shaking in his boots there? You have the West Derby next weekend, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It'll be hard enough, like, obviously Galway, like, I know obviously they lost tonight, but up until that or tonight, they've been in great form. Obviously, like, I know, Johnny, you were saying on your own podcast how do you stop the likes of Hickey and them, like, even just like they're well able to mix it Galway now between aerial threat and kind of on the ball with some of the players they have. So that's not going to be easy whatsoever.
Yeah, the narrative tonight, it falls. I mean, what was 74th minute? Tierney scored. He hasn't had a great season so far. Jeez, if Bowes didn't win that game after being 2-0 up after a few minutes, it would have been absolute carnage at Daly Mount.
Yeah, and it was a lovely goal as well, Johnny. I mean, that goal is exactly what I've expected Bowes to be able to deliver on a regular basis. Like, when there's that much quality and they just bop the ball around lovely, one touch, two touch, super finish. I mean, and then obviously Devise, I know he was relying on a slip up, but that the fourth goal is a beauty as well. Like, that's what they're capable of. But
yeah,
it's trying to develop consistency, obviously, from their side of things is what's killing them, you know.
I think I do feel winning at home tonight will just be massive for them mentally, because I mean, you know, what way the fans would they clap the management team off tonight, because a lot of them certainly weren't last week, and it takes a while to build trust when there's so much negativity around the place. But just for Dawson to get a goal like that, Ross Tierney to score, should be massive for them. You really felt they absolutely had to win that game.
I thought Whelan was very impressive for Bowes tonight, just non-stop work rate. But I think it's crucial for them that he keeps going in the form, because I don't know, I think Cameron, you said you were watching it, but I know, is it Musa? He missed an absolute sitter of a header early in the second half. Like, he hasn't hit. I know that was a gamble signing for them, but it hasn't worked out at all really so far for them. But
yeah, no, he had a couple of nice touches late on in the game, but yeah, as he said, it hasn't quite worked out yet. So Bowes are still holding their breath, but the torture's over, Aaron. You are relieved of your duties for giving us the Sligo Rovers update. Thank you so much for jumping on this evening, and we'll probably talk to you again next week.
No worries, let's see you.
From the bottom of the table to the top of the table for a few moments at least, Padraig Lennon is a Drogheda United fan. Good evening, Padraig, how are you?
How are you, lads? How's it going?
Not too bad. You must be pretty happy with life. 2-0 win over Waterford tonight at home. So back up on top. Some might say the rightful place for Drogs, but how do you feel after that?
Great performance again. You know, clean sheet. You know, once you do that, it's half the battle. Defence were great. Waterford had one or two chances in the first half, but we were good. Ryan Brennan again was out of this world. He's just like a new player. And Warren Davies got took his goal really well, and second goal, Marky crossed it in, and I think the keeper didn't really see it. It was half blocked, couldn't sight, and went into the net, and then Ryan Brennan hit the crossbar with a would have been an absolute worldie of a goal. So all in all, great performance, and look, a great season so far for us. We've had one defeat out of 8 games.
What did you make of Waterford?
It's hard to say. Hammond was busy up front, but he had one chance, and Luke Dennison made a great save from him. And second half, they were playing with the wind. I thought it caused a lot more problems, but I don't think they had a shot in goal in the second half. A lot of balls, high balls into the box, but we have three big defenders in there and cleared our lines quite well. So you know, they brought home five subs, but didn't really cause us too much problems, to be honest. You know, I expected more, but absolutely delighted the way we played again. And Kieran Cruz came on for Conor Kane at left back, played great. So we have a good bit of squad depth now at the moment, and we have Alicia coming back soon, and hopefully Douglas James Taylor, I think, in another 3 or 4 weeks. So we have injuries ourselves as well, but it's been an unbelievably great start to the season for us. There's no other way of putting it, really.
Porrick, it's like you've nailed it there. Like it's remarkable stuff. Like it really, yeah. really is. Like I keep praising Drogheda, and yet I keep finishing up every time by saying, look, you know, this can't continue, and that, you know, until they're mathematically safe, their season is still all about not getting sucked back down into those bottom two spots. But
and the thing is, Shane, like they definitely should have won last week. Maybe should have beaten Pats. Maybe should have beaten Galway United. And even like the likes of Luke Dennison in goal, he was an absolute out and out journeyman, pretty much in the first division. Now he's a regular starter, who's barely conceded a goal all year.
Johnny, that's everywhere. That's all over the field. Like, and again, you know, you're saying this as a compliment rather than an insult. Like Thomas Alua is leading the line. Thomas Alua couldn't nail a place in the Wexford starting 11 last year in the first division. He was out of the team more than he was in the team. And now he's leading the line. He's leading the line in the team that are top of the Premier. Like, it's absolutely unbelievable. Like, things didn't go the way Conor Keighley would have wanted when he moved to Pats last year. You know, Andy Quinn was surplus to requirements at Dundalk. You know, all over the place. Shane Farrell surplus to requirements at Shells. Like, as Porrick has said, Ryan Brennan, most people would have said, you know, near enough finished. Like, it's absolutely remarkable that this gang of misfits, almost, for want of a better way of describing it, have been phenomenal this season, and have them, you know, go and win an FAI Cup last year, and then to deliver what they've delivered so far this year, and every single year starters.
Shane Farrell is a story, isn't it, as well? Like,
yeah, big time. It's just remarkable what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think, lads, as well, I think the full-time football has really improved fitness level.
Yeah,
you can see it, like, you know, Dara Markey, Brennan, them all, so, like, they're obviously training over from the Toth, and we just finished the game so strong now, you know, don't seem to make mistakes. Last season, we were conceding 2 or 3 goals nearly every second match, like, we couldn't, you know, we were leading in games and losing. Remember Galway, Johnny, as you know yourself, last year, I think you got 2 goals in the last 2 minutes or something like that, and, but this year, we look a different team. We don't look like we're going to concede most times, and, as you say, Cork could have won, Shamrock Rovers a penalty, you know, so all in all, we couldn't ask for any more, and we're away to Derry next week and see how that goes, and that's the first quarter of the season gone. No matter what happens next week, we have 15 points already.
Yeah, so like just to finish up, Padraig, like, I know he's the man of the moment and he got the opener, but like, what are your impressions of Warren Davis so far? Because everyone seems to be talking about this guy, but for someone who's watching him week in, week out, what do you like about him? What do you think he could improve?
I just think he took his chance. He came into the team with a few injuries, and he works so hard. That's the first thing about him. He never stops moving. He works like his socks off the whole. He's got such fast feet, and the goal as well tonight, like, other players might have snatched at it. He just took his time and placed it in the corner. Like, real composure for, I think he only turned 20 during the week, so you couldn't ask for any more for the kid, and you'd be delighted for him, you know. And again, I think full time football suits him as well. He's just coming out like leaps and bounds every game. You know, like, he's a starter now from before, where he was on the bench most of last season. Like, if Douglas James Taylor comes back, I'd imagine he might be up front with Davis, and Alua might drop to the bench. That'd be my guess. But all in all, yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure Kevin's, you know, on the training ground, he's learning lots of stuff. And it looks like he has a bright future, which I really hope he has for the kid. You know, he's playing really well.
I hope he's better at handling his fame than his cousin.
That's fair enough, yeah. I think that was his one bad slip up on him. But sure, look, you know, yourself, he was only young.
We can't choose who our cousins are, to be fair.
No, we can't choose, no, not at all. But, you know, delighted for him again tonight. He played the 90 minutes and he seems to be a top player and, hopefully he keeps it going for the season, you know. So it's all good, lads, so far. So it's great to be looking down rather than where we usually are, the other way around, looking from the bottom up.
Yeah, listen, it's all going well, and as you say, that the potential of a Warren Davis, Douglas James Taylor front two is probably sending shivers down everyone else's spines right now. But Padraig, you've been very good. Thank you so much for jumping on.
Thanks, lads. Take it easy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers. It is interesting, Shane. Just see Seagull chat waiting there, and Bray are second in the first division, so he will be not another quarter. He'll be dancing for hours. But he touched on something there with Warren Davis, and we were talking to, or Off the Ball Breakfast, we're talking to Tim Clancy about Cathal O'Sullivan this week. And Clancy just made a really interesting point that no one would begrudge, and in fact, a lot of Cork City fans would encourage the likes of Cathal O'Sullivan to, not immediately, but they're looking forward to seeing where he can go and maybe get a move away from Cork City and see how far he progresses. Warren Davis seems to be in that same category as a 20-year-old that the sky's the limit for him right now, and it'd be interesting to see where his career goes. But I'm always fascinated when a League of Ireland fan base and manager are so comfortable just to say, oh, this kid needs to get out of here. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah. I've been very impressed with him as well. I don't know if I'd quite put him in the Cathal O'Sullivan bracket yet. Cathal has kind of consistently been delivering now since he broke through, you know, 18 months ago. Davis has been excellent so far this year, but probably needs we'd like to see that standard or that level of performance for a little bit longer, maybe than for him to really attract interest from across the water. Is like, we all know that Cathal O'Sullivan is a done deal. It's just a matter of who he goes to and when he goes. But Davis has, look, he's been absolutely excellent for them so far. A real, real live wire, you know, constantly looking to get in the ball. Just plays with that kind of swagger about him. So he does, I think, might have played... Did he play? I think did he come through UCD for a while? Is it the same fella that was at UCD for a while? I'm not 100% sure. No, I'd like to know what his background coming up along was. But no, look, he's just yet another one of a team of stars. Look, the standout one is still Darren Markey. I mean, they've done absolutely brilliantly to hold on to him again this year. There had to be interest from elsewhere, and you would have thought if they hadn't have been in a position to go full time, they would almost definitely have lost him. So if for no other reason than managing to hold on to him to go full time was massive. Look, again, it's only early in the season. We needn't be jumping too far forward, but they could be tested. You know, there could be a few clubs now that we're starting to see fees being paid the odd time here and there, kind of mid-season. They could be tested as to whether they would they knock back, I don't know, 50k to 100k, would they knock it back if that sort of money was offered for them mid-season? Because I think there'd be a lot of teams, and listen, that's not to, I'm probably sounding a bit disrespectful there, you know, Drogheda could be top of the table when the window opens at the moment, and they could be the ones looking to pinch players from other teams, but look, I just think he's a fantastic footballer.
Dara, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dara's been around, you've been going on about Dara for probably half a dozen years now, like, and Dara wouldn't be as heralded necessarily as, say, Brandon Kavanagh, who still, like, couldn't really get his game per se at Derry or had to move on. And I don't know, is there players like that, the diminutive kind of ball player type, like, I don't know, is there a kind of a wariness of players like that in the league because it's so physical? And, like, I don't know if Dara's been massively linked with anyone over the last few years. And the fact that he's been at Drogheda now under Kevin and Dara, he seems to have been able to really, really grow as a player, which is great to see, because you like to see a player who, you know, a manager has a lot of faith in. But I don't know, if I've never really, off the top of my head, I'm not really sure I've ever actually seen him linked with a big move away, Shane. But it's probably because he's quite diminutive. Like, he's, I know he's a player you really like, but he's a player that other managers would say, oh, he'd struggle in physical games and so on.
Maybe so, yeah, fair point.
Let's move first division, because Bray Wanderers, as I mentioned, are second after beating Athlone Town 1-0. And Seagull Chat has checked in for his weekly chat. Good evening, Seagull. How are you keeping?
Good, lads. Yeah, no, on a personal level, I mean, I'll talk more about the first division in general, but I'm delighted. I mean, one name tonight, a defender who you're absolutely going to see in the Premier Division, if not higher, in the next year or so, Harvey Warren. I mean, the coaching staff at Bray deserves huge credit, because, I mean, two weeks ago we lost 5-0 to Finn Harps, whose manager left a few days afterwards. And since then, the defence has been night and day. But at the centre of it has been Harvey Warren. He, again, write down that name for the future, because he's just incredible to watch as a defender.
Yeah, I mean, last year, obviously, Seagull, you would have had Cole of Marwan, and there was a lot of talk of him, and he, you know, he's lining up in the opposition team tonight. I would imagine most Bray fans were disappointed to see him go, but if it's opened the door to give this kid a chance and he's the one really stepping up, well, then maybe it's worked out as a blessing in disguise.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, listen, Bray went to have an extraordinarily young squad, so the fact that we're now second in the first division is unbelievable. I have no idea how it happens. Like, again, 2 weeks ago we were, I think, either seventh or eighth. So, I mean, again, it's still early doors, but the fact most Bray fans would have bitten your hand off to be second at this point in time, and it did look like a few weeks ago things were going to be going very badly. But no, there's been, and again, Harvey Warren stands out, but other players as well. Benjamin Fagbemi, who couldn't play tonight, he has been an unbelievable defender as well. And so, you know, Jordan Tallon, who was on the periphery of a pretty poor Longford side last year, has been excellent. Connor and Reece Knight, both brothers, have been incredible. Connor Knight got a great goal, assisted by Reece Knight as well. So, no, I mean, Paul Heffernan and the entire back team deserve huge credit for you know, the fact that they've taken this squad far, far further than probably even they could have imagined.
I've done a quick search, Johnny. You know the way you can go into your WhatsApps and type in a name, and it'll you know, anytime he appeared in a previous conversation, it'll come up for you.
Is it?
Well, I was trying to Harvey Warren. I was trying to think Harvey mm. Warren. Where have I? So I stuck it into my WhatsApp here. Yeah, I had a, what date is on this actually? 25th of October, 2022. Yeah, that's 3 years ago now. In fairness, I had an agent bounce Harvey Warren, who was then at Waterford United, off me in terms of being somebody that we might be interested in bringing to Cove Ramblers. So I obviously missed the boat on that one.
There you go. And what was your thought process at the time?
We were just after one, and I'm looking here. He sent me four names, and we signed Charlie O'Brien, who was obviously Jake's younger brother. We signed Charlie from Cork City's 19, so he was obviously the one that I went for in the end from the four names. He just sent me four names of four young centre halves that were, you know, doing quite well at under 19 level, let's say, at the time. So Harvey would have been in the Waterford team. Makes me wonder, is he from that neck of the woods then? I'm not 100% sure. Park, I don't know if you know where he's from background wise, but yeah, like I say, obviously I missed a good one there by the sounds of things, Park. Or sorry, not Park, Seagull, apologies. Just calling you by our last.
No, that's fine. They sound very similar, Porrick and Seagull Trash. So I understand that. No, I mean he popped up out of nowhere for Bray as well. I mean, obviously he didn't. I actually don't exactly know where he came from either. But whoever scouted him for Bray did a very good job in finding him.
The transfer market website, which is usually fairly accurate, is telling me he's from Wexford here, actually.
Oh.
Short trip up the road, well, then, in fairness, yeah.
Fairness, yeah. But, I mean, speaking of other teams, lads, have you been following the shit show that's been going on in the first division in the last day or so?
Been pretty grim.
Five of the 10 clubs have put out statements.
Right. I don't know what you mean, seagull shot.
where do we start, Cameron? Which of all the first division controversies do we start on?
Oh, I don't know. Do we could go completely off the beaten track. We'll start with Dundalk, will we? Go down the table.
Yes, they've managed to stay out of the headlines for the last while, in fairness to them.
What's going on? Keep the head down. Yeah, it's we preempted this just to take you behind the curtain a bit. I asked Shane Keegan if he has any really good player registration stories, and I think you have a doozy there, Shane, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned this to you before, Johnny. Did I like, I suppose I'll come back to when, you know, when you're in a manager and the mess ups that have gone on here, and it's a major blame game going on at the moment. Obviously the clubs are blaming the FAI, the FAI are blaming the clubs. It's impossible without us knowing the full ins and outs of everyone to know who's right and who's wrong. But no, mine was more of one that I just thought you'd get a laugh out of. But when I was at Dundalk, obviously, as the pro license holder, Johnny, who was in theory the manager, but in reality nowhere near the manager, I was they tried to make use of my services in other ways. So I was actually doing would have been doing a lot of the paperwork at the time and a lot of the transfer stuff and the whole lot. And I didn't really realise it was such a big thing, to be honest with you. We got to what, in theory, in the League of Ireland was transfer deadline day. But in my head, transfer deadline day in League of Ireland wasn't going to be as hectic as transfer deadline day that we see on Sky Sports. Like, so I was staying in a B&B in Dundalk at the time. And I stayed and worked till about 9 o'clock that night, maybe half nine, 10 o'clock, thereabouts. Thought to myself, okay, there's not a whole lot happening here. I'm going to go on home with myself. Went back to the B&B, managed to fall asleep pretty quickly, and woke up the following morning to 57 missed calls from Jim McGilton. Started to panic and go, oh shit, what's going on here?
And you didn't even have the volume off.
No, I had the phone on silent. So I had the phone on silent, fast asleep. So it transpired that St. Mirren had come in at the last minute for Dara Leahy. And I was the only person with the passwords for this famous ITC international transfer clearance. So Jim was desperately trying to wake me up. Now, listen, the way it played out was it all fell apart before it got over the line anyway. But Jim basically needed me ready to press a couple of buttons if it did get over the line. But I was fast asleep. I was none the wiser. I woke up the following morning, yeah. But didn't ruin a move on Dara. As I say, there was a breakdown in the negotiations anyway. So thankfully... I'm not the one to blame, but I wouldn't be making that mistake again.
Clearly, St. Mirren thought they were dealing with experts. That is, this is dumb. They don't have a password. This,
yeah. Come on, guys. Look, on the actual controversies this time around, lads, it is an absolute mess. Like, it really, really is. And as I say, you just don't know who's in the right and who's in the wrong here. When the clubs put out a statement, you know, you're reading the statement and going, well, they seem to be talking sense here. And then when the FAI put out a statement, you're reading their side of the story and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, they seem to be making sense here. And without going inside it, it's impossible for us to know. The one thing I would say is, you know, any club that I've been at, you know, 48 hours, 24 hours out from that game, from your first game of the season, you'll literally ring somebody in the FAI and go down through every name. Is this person okay? Are you happy with this person? Are you happy with this person? Have you everything you need for this person? And go down through the entire list. Well, that's what I would have done, or that's what I would have got my secretary at my clubs to do in that final week. And I would have thought all clubs would undergo that. So either clubs haven't taken that step, which I think they should always do, or else they have taken that step. And they have been told that, yes, that player is fine. And if that's the case, to then find out retrospectively that they're not fine, that would be madness. But I don't know which of those, you know, they should certainly be double-checking with every player, because it's just, there's so much going on in the background with, you know, having a particularly, whatever understanding I had of it as a manager, you only know what you need to know as a manager. Whereas, as I say, having fulfilled that other role at Dundalk, it gave me a whole new perspective and a whole new understanding of what actually goes on behind the curtain. And there's just so many things, that so many boxes that need to be ticked, so many signatures that need to be done, so many buttons that need to be pressed. I would be double checking and triple checking before I'd ever be telling a manager, yes, that player is eligible for a game. But somewhere in all that, the arse has fallen out a bit, you know.
Well, that's the main thing, regardless of what, I'll let you go after this. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. But what I don't get, the most egregious part about it for me is, let's just imagine that the three clubs are 100% guilty. Something needs to be changed about the, instead of a point direct points deduction, the fixture change being the punishment being the result being changed to a 3-0 loss. Because what's happened is, because Finn Harps played an ineligible player in a game that they lost, they did the exact same thing as Wexford and Kerry, or supposedly. But the result is Finn Harps committed the exact same offence. Kerry and Wexford have lost 3 points each, and had a huge swing and goal difference in the other direction. But because one of those two clubs, they won against Finn Harps, because Finn Harps have committed the exact same offence, they have now got 3 more points and are two better off in goal difference.
Yeah, fair point. Hard to argue against it.
It's food for thought, and I'm sure that it's a particularly complicated web that's not going to, it's going to take a while to untangle, especially with the FAI's big rebuttal of a statement against Kerry's original statement yesterday, coming out today. So I encourage everybody to go and have a look at that. But Seagull, it's been real as always. Thank you so much.
Cheers, lads.
League of Ireland Late Night here with you. Lots and lots to get through. So if you do have any thoughts, just request to speak and we will get to you as soon as possible. It is an interesting situation in the first division with those player eligibility or ineligibility, and the FAI has kind of clapped back at it this week. But just to go back to the football a bit, Shane, I mean, like, as you said, it is amazing that Drogheda have seized the initiative, and it's such a tight race this year. But the fact that there's a lot of changing, like the shifting sands of this league, have shifted again tonight. Bows have won. Galway's unbeaten record is over. Shamrock Rovers get like Rory Gaffney on the score sheet, which is huge for them. As we round the corner on the first round of games, essentially. Help me out here. What are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, look,
tonight felt a bit more, Shane, like that it was like basically the favourites won, or Patson Shells withdraw, which wasn't a surprise. But I watched our game, like, but no, I was coming back from the races, so I basically, the first half was completely ruined on my, I don't know, was it my, like, I wasn't watching on the app, I was watching it on my laptop, but LOI TV just kept rewinding, so I essentially couldn't watch it. So I was watching sort of the Pats Shells game first half. Then the second half, I was able to watch Galway United Shamrock Rovers game, and like Galway United it was the first time I've had a bet on us all season. I bet that we wouldn't lose the game, so that's one of the reasons we lost. But Evan Watson goal, it was a total howler of a goal. And after that, like, we were poor. Like, Shamrock Rovers really squeezed the life out of us. And it felt like a kind of a statement win for them. Now, they've had, like, 10 points in the last 12. And obviously, we're down to 10 men fairly early last week. But that felt like a bit of a kind of a statement win. And, I don't know what you meant. But I think Galway United kind of got a bit of a slight reality check tonight. For all that, it was a game with very little in it for a terrible mistake.
And look, because of tonight's results, the table is starting to look a little bit more like something you can make sense of, with the exception of Drogheda, which continues just to be madness, really. Like, if you ignore Drogheda, if you had said at the start of the season that the rest of the top of the table would be Pats, followed by Galway, followed by Shells, followed by Rovers, followed by Derry, followed by Bows, the only one you'd be looking there and going, they're punching above their weight, really, is Galway. So it is starting to look, with the exception, as I say, of the madness of Drogheda. Just to go back to the other point, Johnny, like I think deservedly we have heaped a reasonable amount of praise on the FAI department, or sorry, the League of Ireland department within the FAI, and you know, some of the very, very good stuff that's been going on around the Virgin deal, around the promotion of the games, all of those kinds of things. And listen, you know, I think because we have praised them when they deserve praise, I think we also can be critical when they deserve criticism. And maybe they're not directly the ones to blame, but LOITV has been pretty much a shit show this year. Like tonight was an absolute disaster again. The opening night of the season was a disaster. I think week three, I think I encountered fierce problems with it again. I mean, you know, I think it represents decent value for money, so long as it's working.
Well, that's the point, Shane, is that if it works, it's great value. But like, we're long past the grace period, you'd say, after, like, when we're 8 games into the season and it's not working the way it should, and people were very frustrated. Tonight I saw one of the guys from the other three amigos put up a poll as to what issue did you specifically experience with LOI, because some of the audio was out of sync, the picture wasn't good enough, there was a lot of kind of reverting back to 27 or minutes beforehand and clipping and stop starting, and that's very frustrating for fans, because again, as you say, it's good value for money, but if you're shelling out and you can't even watch your team week in, week out, that's a really poor return.
Well, it's coming to this case now where you kind of, like, you should be nearly entitled to some money back, or a little bit of, like, some leeway, because, like, if you're getting this, I can't say I've had this week in, week out, because I haven't necessarily, I specifically remember among the early weeks there were problems, but tonight, like, I was constantly refreshing the Go United game, and it kept rewinding, say, 10 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, so it became completely unwatchable. As I say, the second half was kind of better, but like, you have to have some accountability for this at this stage. We're what, 8 weeks in now, and it was like you couldn't watch that first half tonight on my platform anyway.
Yeah, you see, I suppose I'd be keeping a regular enough eye on it, because I kind of still always have an interest in the first division. So what I would have, you know, you'd have whatever game is on TV on, but you'd have the laptop open with a, you know, for me, usually a Cove Ramblers game or something like that on. And it's consistently been a problem. It really, really has. I wasn't much good in school, Cameron, but I was actually half decent at business studies. And the old sale of goods and supply of services Act 1980 is one that always stuck in my head. It was a guaranteed answer in the Leaving Cert paper for business studies. So it was like, you know, I would think somewhere within that, as Johnny had said, I would think somewhere within the rights of that act, we're pretty much all entitled to some sort of a refund at this stage, unfortunately, you know.
Well, Shane, I think your business degree or intercert grades have been taken off you, because you couldn't stay awake to make a deal go through with St. Mirren. So we'll maybe put a pin in that and come back to it later. But James Lawler Kerr is standing by, another Sligo Rovers fan. As always, great to talk to James. So how are you keeping, James?
I thought I'd be having a better drive home, to be honest with you, but it is what it is. It's just a bit deflating.
Yeah, I mean,
what gave you that false hope, I'd love to know, James?
Look, it's probably just the optimism coming in, to be honest with you. Like, you know, from the game against Shells last week, you know, for majority part of the game, we actually played quite well. You know, we're just conceding lackey-daisy goals, and kind of the same happened today, really, and you get punished for it, and Jesus Christ, the injury and suspension list that I remember saying to one of the lads at the start of the year, I said, if we stay away from this, we should be, you know, we're not going to be saying we're going to be doing a draw and be up the top of the table, but we'll be competing. But it's just a bit lackluster at the minute.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
No, I do. Like, you look at Cork tonight, there's 3 points off them. We get Hakiki and John Mahon back next week for Galway. You know, look at tonight, like, if you want to talk about tonight, like, tonight was just, I just remember, I looked at my watch at 2-0, and I was like, Jesus, my watch hasn't moved. And I'm like, there's only about 2 or 3 minutes in the game here, and we're 2-0 down. And then Bowes just, it's like they just turned on one switch and turned off the other, and we grew into the game really quickly. Ronan Manning was playing really well. in Lombardo, and you know Lombardo needed that goal, to be completely honest with you, to kind of give him a little confidence boost. Hopefully it'll kick him on. I don't think he had 90 minutes. He does have 90 minutes in him, but I think because of the amount of injuries we had tonight, we didn't really have a choice. And with the suspension and a further injury list, you know, Ollie Denham comes off injured. You know, Lintott, I think he actually lasted just short of 2 minutes on the pitch, and he's gone off. Comes on at halftime for Van Hattem, who got fairly found out in the first 20 minutes of the Rovers game tonight as well. It's just, I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. I was just reminiscing in my own thoughts while I was listening to you, and I was like, oh, I might hop on for an hour chat here and see what you have to say about it.
It is kind of mad.
Go on, Johnny. You there, Johnny?
Oh, he was about to kick off there, I feel.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, no surprise they've conceded the most goals because they've had some shockers. I think only one team have scored more than Sligo, so like you're getting plenty of value for money. I think the problem is there's a bedding in period in the league where other teams are kind of not at their best, or they're dropping points. And Sligo, like the quality of the two goals tonight are excellent, but I don't know what it is. It's this ability to give away mad goals every week, is they're just not going to get away with that at all this year.
No, and like considering the league is so tight and there is so much more money in the league as well, like, you know, I remember after the first game of the season coming on and saying that this is going to be a dogfight of a season. And, you know, if Rustler manages to keep us in the Premier Division this year, get rid of that WBA statue, he needs one, because the work that that man will need to do to keep us, you know, up. But, you know, Kavanagh, to be fair, I didn't expect him to be as good as he is when he came in. Manning has played well tonight. You know, there's a good core starting 11 there. But then you've got, like, the injuries are just killing us. Like, Stephen Mallon has played about 25
minutes. My next question sort of was, James, what is the story with him? Is he just completely crocked, or is there any talk of him coming back? I mean, I saw that at Derry a couple of years ago, and I thought he looked like he had the potential to be a star, and it's just all gone south for him, and I was really hoping he'd manage to resurrect things with G this year, but he's hardly been on the pitch, has he?
It's just injury after injury. You know, he went and he missed the latter part of last season. He went and actually had surgery on his hip, I think it was. It was giving him the main problem, but it obviously hasn't worked out because he's still on the bench. Rovers in one of their final preseason games played a Sligo Leitrim selection, and he lasted about, again, 15 minutes on the pitch and came off and hobbled off the pitch. And you're kind of like, you know, in a club where value for money is what we need right now, it's not working out for us and him, considering how much injury time the man, or how much time the man has spent on the sidelines. And, you know, is there a bit of something there? I'd like to think there is, but we're not seeing it right now at all. In a season where we need as many players as we can to be as fit as we can at any one time, if we're to throw our hat into the ring to have a chance to Premier Division this year.
Like, I'm just looking at here, like, tonight, Doyle Hayes, Hakiki, Cian Kavanagh, John Mahan, Stephen Mallon, Wilson Oreiru, probably one or two more that you can name. Like, that's, you know, when you're battling for survival, you can't be down that many bodies.
No, and like, now hopefully Wilson's due back in about 6 weeks. Hopefully he had a really bad Achilles injury, so hopefully if he comes back, and, you know, again, we're not going to expect him to come back and click into the stride he was in last year before he got the injury. But, you know, these are players that we don't need. And again, for me, the big thing is the suspension list. Like, we played up before the season, we played 7 games, and the yellow cards are still flying out. Now, the referee conversation is another conversation if you want to have it or not, because there was, again, just decisions. Look, I'm not taking the win away from Bows either, because I'd say there'd be Bows fans who'd be jumping to get at me if I say that, if I say the wrong thing. But like, some of the decisions tonight were fairly brutal again from Dunn in the middle of the park and the linesman in front of all the Rover supporters. And you know, it's you know, you can't play like there is. I'm putting this out now. I'm not blaming the referees, but there has to be some sort of look at some of the decisions that have been made, or can they look at it a different way compared to the other leagues, or you know, different bits and pieces like that. But it's kind of back to us and our injury and our suspension list, that it's just a season where we can't afford, we actually just can't afford to have that right now. We can't afford to have the John Mahan and Hakiki, two key players for us, out for one game against a Bowes team who, you know what, if we had all our full squad out, I probably would have put our money on us to beat them tonight, considering how much pressure they were under, you know. Like, when that game went to 2-2 tonight, you can see the look, or you can hear the pin drop in the Jody, you know, from across the way, and said, Jesus, okay, they've pulled two goals back here, it's game on again, and how nervous that was. And you look at the money Bows have to the money we have, and you know, it's yeah, like, am I pressing the panic alarm yet? No, because we're only 8 games in. But you know, it's now when we can't afford to have these hiccups in injury, more or less suspensions more than anything, than injuries, is when we need to start kicking on. You know, Galway next week is huge. You know, for us, we need to pack the showgrounds. We need to get as much out as we can to try and get that. But again, I think somebody was on about Galway beforehand, how you go and you try and stop Hickey, how you try and stop all them lads as well. That's going to be another challenge in itself. But like, you take the back line tonight for the last 15 minutes, Darren Patton played right back, 18 years of age. Conor Reynolds was playing centre half, 19. Gareth McElroy, 19, 20. Reece Hutchinson, I think, is 23. I think somebody said the 7 out of the 11 players we finished with tonight can play for the under-20s for Rovers tomorrow against Galway away. You know, that's what we're dealing with right now, and it is quite tough, but I think we just have to weather the storm. But I think Gareth needs a shout as well. You know, if that happens, he'll be gone as well. He played very well tonight, albeit he made the hiccup for the fourth goal, but Rovers were going for it and committing players at that point. So I think the game was done at 3-2 anyways. We had thrown everything we could at it, the injuries had hampered us, and we just got done for it.
James, thank you so much. Safe home on the way back now, and we'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure.
Cheers, lads.
Right, it is from one bit of red to another, because Shane Kennedy is ready to go. Shane, good evening.
All right, lads.
How you keeping?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, just back home after that. Yeah, it was a decent game. I don't know if anybody's watched it on the telly.
I was watching along.
Oh, yeah.
Nil all just sounds like it's a bad game, but I thought the first half in particular was played at a frenetic pace, and maybe it just lost it as the second half wore on, but it was a really good game. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good tactical affair. I thought, I don't know, I was a bit disappointed with Pats just being at home. I thought we were really good, done what we needed to do, set up really well, and Chapman in there with JJ and Kieran McInerney, and even with Coyle playing centre half and Caffo, we grew up the pitch quite a lot. Like, we had the best chances in the game, and to be honest, at the end, the last 15 minutes, like, people say, ah, Pat's dominated, but 15 minutes of that 90, we were all over them. We should have scored in that last few minutes, and we were only one look. Like, Joseph Nang was time wasting at the end. So we thought we were impressive.
What was the crack with Duffer at the end of the game? I didn't know, was he going to like absolutely deck his centre-backs, and then he gave them a hug, and then he slagged his mother for drinking too much on her 75th birthday. Like, the man is just relentless.
I haven't seen it yet. I couldn't really see him from where he was. I wasn't watching.
It was mad stuff. They, in fairness, though, Shells did finish. What have you met Amiibo so far, Shane? Because I was only kind of catching the end, and he was involved, but...
I said it down in Waterford when we came back. Someone, I think it might have been Paddy Murphy, was like, he's tricky, and I told us at the time he's far from tricky. He's a fella that lacks confidence, I think, at the minute. I think Ramadan potentially, I think I've heard, could have been affecting him, I'm not sure. But tonight he had that chance and he should have gone through, I think. Or even if he takes it across, the defender coming in, he might have got a penalty. But he shot too early. Obviously the shot in the first half was disaster. He wouldn't be starting if we had our full team out tonight, I don't think. I think John Martin's gone way ahead of him now. And even Harry Wood tonight, was, I thought, was absolutely outstanding.
How good, Shane, how good is young Lewis Temple turning out to be?
The centre of the tree looks like it's suiting them. I was surprised at Pat's crossing the ball in. In the fourth half especially, they put a lot of balls in the box, and even they looked like they wanted set pieces. But even I think in the second half he cut one out and then carried the ball forward. You can see he has that bit about him, that he's not afraid on the ball, he doesn't panic. Looks like he has a bit of a left and a right foot to just keep the ball moving, which is important in that position, because you have to go both sides. But no, he looks a player, doesn't he? He's a big lad, like, yeah. If Paddy Barrett comes back, if Paddy Barrett comes back, I don't know, does he go back into the middle? Where Mark Hoyle seems to be doing well there because he has the pace, and in the back three, when you're on the right side, if you get sucked out to the wing a bit, like, because you have to cover, I don't worry about him in that sense. But he played there against Galway away. He played right centre back, but again, they don't have much pace, so he didn't really get caught out. Like the way Pico, I remember Pico came caught out for Parsons. I wouldn't want him in that position too much, though.
I saw him a bit at Wexford. He impressed me when he was at Wexford. I thought he had a bit about him already. You need to get a look at Cameron. You need to get a look at Nathan's interview with Duffer after the game tonight.
Oh, no spoilers! No spoilers, lads. Haven't watched it.
I actually didn't know this about him now, because as you say, he's a unit. Like, he looks it. He looks every bit of it. But Duffer says that he was a black belt, a world champion at the age of 12. And then Duffer follows it up by saying, at 12 years of age, I was just watching The Simpsons. but he's obviously able to take care of himself. A bit of a martial arts background in him as well, by the sounds of things. But I thought he was very, very impressive now tonight, so I did.
Yeah, he's a big unit, isn't he? He's a big, big unit. I thought Coyle probably could have got a nickname. I suppose he's 20, but Coyle playing on the wrong, like, he's playing centre half. I did feel like we missed him in the middle of the park, though, just for the 50-50 bound. Like, if you could mould JJ Looney and Mark Coyle into one player, I think you've obviously got the perfect centre midfielder. Like, JJ on the ball is unbelievable, gets you out. But Mark Coyle, he just missed that energy in midfield, in the middle of the six. What do you think of Chapman tonight, though, lads? He's getting a lot of stick this season.
I didn't think he was bad tonight, now, to be fair. He probably hasn't hit the height. Well, he hasn't. There's no probably about it. He hasn't hit the heights that he hit at Sligo. But I wouldn't have said he had a poor performance tonight. I think it's just because he was so good last night, maybe the expectation. And listen, he hasn't been wonderful in previous games. But I thought there was signs tonight that with a run of games. Now, the problem is trying to get a run of games, because you've been so good and you've got so much competition that unless you're delivering kind of an 8 or 9 out of 10 performance, well then, you know, your position is always at threat, which is understandable.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent, and I said before the game, he wouldn't be able to just wander around in the game like that, and that's his first proper, like, no disrespect to kind of Cork or draw their hand, but you can kind of saunter around that pitch. Like, right tonight, he had to be at it every single moment, and I thought he just keeps the ball moving. Like, he's trying to give the ball away, those type of players are, but he tries to make things happen. I thought, and he had a chance in the first half as well, like, which he wants to get up the pitch, doesn't he? Like he's an attacking eight, like, he doesn't want to just sit back. Like, potentially could have done better with that one, but at least he's in there, like, in the moments where Pat didn't have any of that. Like, Melia tonight was very disappointing as well, as a Spurs kind of follower. If he went in January, he wouldn't get near that team. And he's up against the makeshift back three kind of as well. I was very disappointed with him. Of course, he's only 17 or whatever, but just for here and now, I think Keane is straight ahead of him.
Shane, I mean, you have enough negativity as Spurs fans, don't you, bringing that to the
Yeah, stop. Yeah, no, I don't know. Pats, though, I thought they were very, very predictable. Zach, yeah, man, on the wings, doesn't get involved a lot, does he? Compared to Mulroney, like Mulroney wants to make things happen, doesn't he? I thought the other winger was a bit for the money he's on. I don't know. Forrest has a joy to watch that lad. You'd pay to see that lad, wouldn't you? Like,
oh, that shot.
Yeah.
Wow. That was rare. If that would have been, I'm sorry, Moses Dyer, eat your heart out. That would have been goal of the season.
No, I think Dyer's was better. But anyway. And so was there was, though, I must say, though, which is the only negative was there was, and it's a worry for, I suppose, if, when the games get bigger, is that away section. There was one bottle that was flung over, and luckily it went onto the pitch and missed everyone. But that could have caused issues. One of them is all you need, like, for it to blow over. But yeah, it was slung over.
We'll have to keep an eye on that.
I don't think I've heard of anything, but they've been winning at home, so like the starter bows, like, I don't know if bows they kind of the other way, but just something for the league to watch out for as well. That's it, lads. Go on. Right, let's just go and someone else might jump on. I thought there was your man Sean Foley was a Shell fan. I think he was. He's interested to get someone else.
Yeah, no, I think we just lost him in the end, but hopefully we'll get other Shells fans. Not that you're not everything we need in a Shells fan, Shane.
Your man Harvey, I think I've seen that. Your man, the young fella off Wexford, was with Shells last year. Mm. No, not Wexford, off Bray. He was with Shells, so must have been with Waterford a few years ago.
Prior to that, maybe, yeah.
There's a few people who missed out on Harvey Warren, it turned out. Shane, thank you so much.
Go on, take it easy, lads. Oh, and thanks for Bowes for winning for Lenny to stay in his job. The last thing we needed was them to lose. We were all like, oh no, still all, he's going to stay in his job. But it's mad though, if they beat us next week, they're 5-1 as well, which is crazy. If they beat us next week, they're a point behind us. Like, that's the league for you in 2025, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. For them, the worst start ever and the worst manager in history, and point behind the champions if they beat us.
You won't let that happen, Shane. You won't let that happen.
Oh, I don't know. We struggle against them a lot, though. We don't play well against Bowes that much. And
stop with the Aaron.
What?
Stop with the errors.
No, No, we don't. Bowes are good sides. But anyway, straight lads, go on and let us go.
Thanks, Shane. Have a great one.
Go on, cheers. Bye.
I think that's about it. All the time we have, unfortunately. So, Tommy, you'll have to save your thoughts for us until next week. But yeah, we got through that. That was painless enough there, Shane. Thank you so much for jumping on.
No problem. Enjoyed that, Cameron.
Thank you very much, Johnny Ward. Take the silence as always silent with it. He just nods in approval. Lots to come next week, of course. The Dublin Derby between Shells and Bohemians is our commentary game on the OTB Sports app next week, or the Off the Ball app, I should say. Other games to look forward to next week: you have Cork against St. Pat's, Derry against Drogheda, Shamrock Rovers against Waterford is an 8 o'clock kickoff next Friday, and then the Connacht Derby as Galway United go up to Sligo on the Saturday. We will talk to you following next week's games. Thank you so much for jumping on again, as always. And we will see you next week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later.
Off the Ball Daily.